Hi, I'm Steve Morgan, founder of Cybersecurity Ventures and editor-in-chief at Cybercrime Magazine. Welcome to another episode of HumanSec, which is all about securing humans. I'm here today with Karen Kukoda, Vice President of Strategic Partnerships at Safeguard Cyber, the industry's first and only comprehensive collaboration, chat, and social media security platform. To learn more about Safeguard Cyber, visit safeguardcyber.com. Also joining us is Todd Weber, Chief Technology Officer for the Americas at Optiv, a leading security solutions integrator. To learn more about Optiv, visit optiv.com. Welcome, Karen and Todd. Great to have you both with us today.
Hi, Steve. Great to see you. And Todd, always great to be together with you.
Great to see you guys.
So, Karen, to get started, let's talk about partnerships in the cybersecurity industry. You've been recognized by numerous media outlets as a top channel chief, so this is something you know a lot about. And I think it's something that we definitely need to talk a little bit more about. You know, in the industry, we, you know, read about products, we read about services, but those two come together. It's very important. So you played a key role at FireEye when you helped them create third parties and build partnerships, and now you're doing it for Safeguard Cyber. How important are partnerships for cybersecurity companies?
Steve, I've worked with many different partner types over my career, from insurance, legal partners, great resellers like Optiv, strategic partnerships. I think it's incredibly important, and here's why. There is no one perfect solution in cybersecurity today. So it's really incumbent for us to create an ecosystem of partnerships that help our customers identify threats, help them with visibility into those threats, create services that can help them remove those types of threats. And lastly, you know, that layered approach to security really helps so that we have the right solutions in place. We're thinking about offense versus defense when we do that. And we help because there's a shortage when it comes to addressing the cyber risks that are out there today. So partners are really an important piece to a holistic security strategy. And here at Safeguard Cyber, we focused on three main partner types. And I know you and I are going to talk about that a little bit more in depth. But I think, you know, when I look at the partner types that we already put in place and how we complement one another, I often say things like that better together story, incredibly important for everybody.
So Todd, Optiv has earned a great reputation over many years, well known for partnerships in our industry, you know, perhaps a model company. Karen spoke to us from the standpoint of a vendor, about, you know, the importance of partnerships. Speak to us from the standpoint of a leading solutions integrator. You know, how important are partnerships?
Well, it's a foundational component, to be honest. And, you know, whether or not that's a relationship with our clients as partners or our technology partners or some of our other services partners that we use, in that foundationally, everything is built upon trust. You know, our business is definitely foundationally built upon trust, how the technologies work. Our clients trust us to tell them about the landscape in cybersecurity. As we've seen in cyber, there's a huge landscape of technology companies, and with thousands more actually coming out, the amount of money being thrown at this from venture capital and private equity is unparalleled in many cases. So, you know, as all these new technologies and companies get created, foundationally, Optiv needs to have that trust level with the partners that we bring to our clients, as well as with the partners themselves and how we test those methodologies. Which ones do we build functions for integration and automation structures for? And then explain that to our clients and what sorts of outcomes that they're looking for. So foundationally, trust and our technology partners and our client partners are, you know, like I said, foundational to the to our business and to the industry at large.
So, Karen, Safeguard Cyber is on the cutting edge with a unique security platform around collaboration, chat, and social media. Give us a high-level overview of what your company offers and what the Illuminate Partner Program looks like.
At the core of our technology, Steve, we are a SaaS-based platform, and we help our customers to protect human connections. And we do this in a very unique way. We are API-based technology, which means we focus on protecting our customers at the application layer. And the threat vectors that we focus on helping them identify and then protect are collaboration tools like Microsoft Teams, Zoom, Slack. Last week, we saw what happened with the Electronic Arts breach and Slack. So there are definitely some improvements. There are security governance that we help put in place for those customers. Another top threat vector is social media. So we help protect all the top social media platforms like LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And the last component is chat applications. So we help to protect Telegram, WeChat, and WhatsApp. And the reason why this is so incredibly important is because so many of these apps and so much data is in it. And customers are not aware of the risks that are associated with those things. So that's where Safeguard Cyber comes in. The other piece I'll point out here is we have some incredible strategic integrations and partnerships in place that really help customers take advantage of existing technology, like CrowdStrike, for example. So we extend the efficacy of endpoint into application layer now. And the last piece you asked me about is our new partner program here at Safeguard Cyber, which is called Illuminate. We just launched that about a month ago. There's been an awful lot of planning in place, and I'm so proud of our team. I've got incredible expertise from industry veterans like Claudia Slane, who came to us from Obsidian and Forescout. And Todd, I know you know Claudia. And then Britt Hayes, who worked with me at Mobile Iron. So we've got people that have built out a channel that understand the importance of how to work closely with partners like Optiv and are ready to roll up their sleeves and get creative in what we're designing in creating a world-class program for our partners that's margin rich and, you know, some great training platforms as well. So there's a lot being developed, and I'm so proud of what we've put in place as our first version or iteration of our partner program.
So Todd, Optiv is a Safeguard Cyber partner. How important is security, in your opinion, around collaboration, chat, and social media? And I know you talk to a lot of CISOs and cybersecurity leaders. Is that a talking point? Are you hearing more and more about that?
So as people have gone through digital transformation efforts, say several years ago, the functions for collaboration were all kind of internal communication structures that people were doing. Now it's migrated into a way that people communicate with their clients. It's how they establish relationships, and it's an integral part of their business that you just didn't see 5 or 6 years ago. So with that, you know, it's not necessarily that the entire vector is new, but it's the importance and how that interoperates with the rest of the ecosystem is really the important part. How Slack gets used for chat ops operations between support and how people talk with their clients and how that system talks with back-end, very, very important systems is really becoming more and more of a threat vector as people, and as Karen mentioned, the social media aspect of things. Now, of course, you know, I'm old, so I don't necessarily always know the impact of social media, but, you know, to know that how social media interoperates and, you know, many of our clients and many companies, most actually, I'd say at this point, that's how one of the things that they establish relationships with their clients, and it's how they communicate. So, you know, instantiating that trust and instantiating, making sure that that trust, that that's a secure vector to speak and communicate with your clients as well as vice versa is becoming very important. And as Karen mentioned, kind of from just a governance and regulatory standpoint, as highly regulated industries incorporate these, whether or not it's insurance or large financials who are trading, they need insight into these applications. Otherwise, you know, they can't use them based on governance and audit purposes.
So Karen, Safeguard Cyber is in a market that Cybersecurity Ventures views as super high growth over the next 5 years. So there's got to be a lot of potential partners knocking on your door, inquiring, interested in the market opportunity. How do you identify the right partners? And once you do, what does the onboarding program look like?
At Illuminate, we've tried to make our program very simplistic and very easy for our partners to take advantage of. So we do have a availability to go right onto our website at Safeguard Cyber and enter information for any partners that are interested in learning more about our platform and then becoming part of our program. We've really focused on three partner types. We have strategic partners, partners like CrowdStrike or Seismic, where we integrate with those platforms and we create more value. We create a better together story. We have joint go-to-market activities. There is a ton of thought leadership. You know, we take the information that we learn from that combination and create unique threat intelligence that is used in the industry. We also have a great set of reseller partners. You know, Optiv is definitely one of our top partners, and I'm thrilled that we've closed a great deal together, Todd. And we have a lot more in the pipeline right now that we're working on. One of the facets that I think is very important for reseller partners is creating a simple way that we work together, you know, margin-rich environments so we can both create joint revenue from the better together story. And lastly, the right infrastructure to support the teams. We have incredible sales engineers that work alongside the teams at Optiv. We have salespeople that can help with first meetings or demos. We have joint collateral that we develop together. And, you know, we love to do events together. We've got some great ones coming up in New York at Chelsea Pier at the end of this month with the Optiv team. The last type of partner is referral-based partnerships. And we are fortunate to have a few cyber insurance companies that we work closely with. So Resilience and Cowbell Cyber are two great examples of where we've combined the cyber insurance marketplace to help identify risks, to help mitigate those risks, and to help ultimately create better protection levels for those type of customers so they can get unique terms and conditions in a cyber policy. And, you know, those are the three basic partner types that we have. We are open to, you know, partners applying and working closely with the team. And I welcome anybody listening that wants to learn more to reach out to our team so we can get in touch and, you know, create that better together story.
So Todd, during the pandemic, we ran a series of interviews with Fortune 500 CISOs. And I think what we heard from them is reflective of other large enterprises and probably a lot of mid-sized companies as well. They're at full tilt. It's been a very challenging year. Prior to the pandemic, as you know, and you spoke to a little earlier, companies are grappling with digital transformation, some very large projects, and now, of course, coping with a new remote workforce, and a lot of companies still dealing with that right now. And then when you think about, you know, the idea of securing collaboration, chat, and social media, which is very important, do they have the time? And, you know, what type of challenge is it for them to dig in? And what does Optiv do? And how much of your help do they need?
Well, the first part of your question is obviously the factor of today's time frame, and that, you know, as we all move to different ways of working and different ways of consuming, you know, we all had to get creative on how to make things work. We all had to, you know, do different things. And, you know, even with, you know, things that you wouldn't normally associate with chat, like telemedicine and telehealth, were all being done on these platforms, which we didn't think necessarily we wanted to do, or at least not in that time frame we had to do it. It was kind of forced upon us. And all of these things that were forced upon us, you know, now we don't necessarily, even though we're coming towards the end of the pandemic, you know, all of these things are still there. They didn't go away. And we now have to go back and make sure we've kind of closed down all these vectors that we've opened, or at least put security controls in place on all of these ones that we've opened. Because while I say that the pandemic is towards the tail end, the way that we work and the way that we consume, I think, is going to stay a lot in place for a long time. I don't think everybody's automatically going to go back to the office. I don't think people are going to just go back to the way things were totally from how they did things. So these things are here in place to stay, and the use of chat ops and the use of these applications are going to keep going for a while, for the foreseeable future, I would say. And, to your point around how does Optiv do this, our average client has between 70 and 80 security applications already in place. And that's a lot for anybody to consume, even large companies. And what we're challenged here to do is make that easier. How do we gain efficiencies here? How do we make technologies work together? How do we, make consoles work with each other? How do we do automation structures between these that don't have to involve so many humans? We'll talk a little bit more about that in a couple minutes, I'm sure. But anyway, that's how, Optiv has been challenged, is how do we make these controls easier for people to consume, because these vectors have now been opened. It's, as I mentioned, I'm old. I remember when, people started bringing iPads into work, and the security teams back then had the actual, believe it or not, the power to say, no, you will not bring iPads into work. We don't have that power anymore. It's people bring whatever devices, use a lot of different applications for how they communicate with each other and with their clients, and which has been exacerbated through COVID. And now we have to start putting these controls in place, and I just don't see those changing anytime soon. So it's becoming extremely important to put priority structures on all these vectors that we've opened that weren't there 5 or 6 years ago.
So, Karen, the idea of wrapping security around collaboration, chat, and social media, it's relatively in its infancy right now. And as you know, VARs, integrator solution providers, MSPs, they're always looking for the next big market opportunity. They're running a business, and, is this one of them? Is this one of those, large market opportunities that only comes along, every so often?
Steve, you nailed it for me there. I mean, that was a great softball pitch. Yes, this is emerging threat space, right? Everybody's facilitating business needs by using these types of platforms and these applications. That's not going to go away. People are now incorporating this into their business processes. So the short answer is, this has to be protected. We don't want to impede the progress of what has happened by using these platforms. And here at Safeguard Cyber, we don't. Our users can continue to use Slack or to be on Zoom calls, and we don't impede any of that. We don't change the way they use those applications. We create additional security for them, whether it's speaking or chat or instant messaging, right? Again, going back to that premise of the human connections are important regardless of the platform that we use. And we provide full cybersecurity detection, prevention, remediation. We also have automated compliance. It's incredibly important in the regulated industries that we have existing customers in today. So healthcare, pharmaceuticals, education space, and lastly, Fiserv, right? Those are all great examples of verticals that need our help to ensure that they are compliant, they abide by the regulations that are in place, and the last piece is they have visibility into the risks that exist by using these business tools.
So Todd, how big do you think this market will become? When you look at our market now, some of the mature categories, endpoint security, security awareness training, and we have dozens of those. Do you think that security around collaboration and social media is going to be one of those big market categories?
It certainly can be. And, usually you base the size of that market structure based on, the ubiquity of need, meaning how many companies are using this, how ubiquitous is the use of these applications. And that's becoming more and more ubiquitous. So whether or not many of our clients know they have a problem or not, they do, because this is, particularly overseas, particularly in Europe, like the use of WeChat and WhatsApp is very common on how to do, not just to communicate with friends, it's how to do business and how to transact and how they, interact with each other. And, you know, so I see the ubiquitous there. So now, you know, kind of taking my offensive mindset of, you know, which we typically do at Optiv, you know, how many offensive, exploits do I see coming out of this right now? Relatively small. But I mean, as we communicate more and more with these channels and less with the traditional channels, like right now, you know, business email compromise is probably number one still, for in many cases as a transmission for ransomware and others. But, you know, as we start using these more and more, if the threat actors start using these channels, then yes, it's going, you know, it'd be a magic sauce of the ubiquity of the use of the applications is pretty much there. Then if the threat actors start exploiting those vectors, then yes, I do see it could be a very large space.
Right. Yeah. You look at the adoption of these tools and in a decade, we could be looking at another email security space. That's how big I think this can be. So, Karen, you launched a partner program during the COVID-19 pandemic. What was that experience like?
Steve, it was a good experience for us. And here's why. You know, I look at success as the residue of planning, as Ben Franklin says, right? So we were fortunate during this time frame, not traveling as much as we all do, that we have the ability to really focus on the core of creating an incredible partner program here. And we utilized all of these virtual tools that we talked about today. So we took advantage of doing more online training, you know, creating repeatable processes for our partners, putting in partner in place so they can deal reg, right? Creating new content. We just finished rebranding our things at Safeguard Cyber. And again, I go back to that concept of how do you make it simple and easy for our partners to work with us? So during COVID, we really focused on all the infrastructure necessary to support partners in the best, easiest way possible. And I think we did a great job and we're ready to get together with our partners and get to meet prospects and customers. And I think we're in the perfect place, thanks to the timing.
So Todd, to close out here, you know, I'd like your observation on the pandemic. Anything you'd want to share with us around the challenges that CISOs and security teams are faced with? And I would be curious to know, do you think that this market that we're talking about today was fast forwarded due to so many remote workers over the past year?
First, I would absolutely agree with that statement is that, you know, through the pandemic, this accelerated these as, you know, kind of background business applications that, you know, might have had some, lines into like a foundational business process now have become at the forefront of business process. And foundationally, if you can imagine this pandemic happening and going into lockdown 8 or 9 years ago, before really Zoom and WebEx had video capabilities, I'll just share with you, I was on like a 10-person phone call, no video. We've all forgotten that skill to talk on a phone without video. It was interesting to listen to the dynamics. Nobody could recognize each other's voices. We didn't know who was talking. Nobody knew when to talk. Sometimes, you know, you got to kind of laugh at how things progress through life as we go through challenges. But I definitely believe that, you know, these vectors have all been opened and I don't see them closing. Some of these things that we've done here are foundational in nature. The work from home, and not that that wasn't here before, it was, but it's the scale of it. And, you know, particularly for roles that weren't ever designed to be from home. You think of some of the customer service functions that, you know, were designed to be in call centers. And you think, Karen mentioned the financial services and the healthcare. Those call centers were not designed to have security controls around being done from home. Those were designed to be done from an office or from a controlled location that had specific controls that now, you know, are no longer in place. And as we've created these new application channels for them to speak to, now we need to even get further and deeper into these controls. And as Karen said, we're not trying to necessarily impede all of the progress we've made, or, you know, I guess the progress we've made around how efficient we can be working from home and how efficient we can be for our clients. But having established the controls that are absolutely necessary to at least get visibility structures, and then eventually, you know, how can we start closing down these structures and actually respond to these a little bit faster and through automation functions and recognize when somebody's trying to compromise through these channels.
Well, Todd, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate you taking the time. Karen, before we let you go, if anyone's interested in the partner program, is that on the homepage or where exactly should they go?
If they go to safeguardcyber.com, we have a tab dedicated to partners. Just click on that and there are easy steps to follow to send us information so that we can get back to you immediately. We also do have an email set up, partners@safeguardcyber.com. That goes directly to my team, so we can respond as quickly as possible.
Well, thank you also, Karen. Really appreciate your time, and I hope you'll both come back on with us.
Anytime, Steve. Great to see you, Todd, and look forward to the next time we're all together.
Absolutely. Thank you. Great to talk, Steve.
I'm Steve Morgan, founder of Cybersecurity Ventures and editor-in-chief at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining us today was Karen Kukoda, vice president of strategic partnerships at Safeguard Cyber, the industry's first and only comprehensive collaboration, chat, and social media security platform. To learn more about Safeguard Cyber, visit safeguardcyber.com. Also joining was Todd Weber, Chief Technology Officer for the Americas at Optiv, a leading security solutions integrator. To learn more about Optiv, visit optiv.com. You can keep up with all of our media at cybercrimemagazine.com.